Certainly Jesus can fix whatever problems we have. Most important thing that he can fix our spiritual lives and make sure our soul is okay. Everything's well with our souls. Amen. So we're thankful that Jesus came, bled, died on the cross, gave his life that we could have of hope of eternal life. And we're thankful to be in this place this morning to worship him. God, through Jesus Christ, our Father, we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him. How? In spirit and in truth. John chapter 3 is where we're going to be continuing our study of the book of John. If you would go there, we will study there. We'll start there this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're very honored guest of the audience, we want you to leave a member of the Church of Christ. You do that by believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died, repenting of your sins, confessing him to be the Son of God before mankind, and then we baptize you, be washed in his blood, and his blood then will wash your sins away. Amen. And he would add you to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. Now, we have been in the relief effort, and we're thankful that God has blessed us to be able to contribute to those who have been suffering from the hurricane. And now we have our Florida families and friends and loved ones that are going through a storm now. So I think it's appropriate that we stop and pause and pray to God for it. And would you join the hands with the person next to you? Let's take it up to God in prayer regarding this. Our Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace thankful this morning for the blessing of life. We realize some laid down last night were not able to wake up on this morning. But through your grace, mercy, you allowed us to wake up, slumber, get dressed, come to this place. Now we're assembled together in your name, and where there are two or three present in your name, you know you're in the midst. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. As I lead this prayer in this congregation, we ask you to forgive us, that our prayers be not hindered. We pray thanking you, first of all, for what you've done in Houston. Through the storm, you've made known to mankind that you're still on the throne. And that we really have no control of life and the storms, the skies and the rains and the floods and things remind us that we are under your care and that we should be considering the fact that as mankind we have no control of life. Life can end. This brevity of life is short. It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We know we made it through this storm here in Houston because of you. Now we know through our relief efforts we're bringing glory to you, to your son, to his church. We thank you for the four precious souls that have been added to the body since we've started our relief effort. We thank you for every soul, every sister, brother who've contributed to this cause, whether it be financially or whether they've contributed through physically. Being a part of what we've done, we pray you bless those people. Help those who don't see a need to join hands with us to meet this grand need in this city. Such a heart to ask themselves why they can't prioritize at this time when people are in need. And be a part of what we're doing to help the whole. And Lord, we are reminded of those in Florida and those of Cuba and others who've been affected by the storm that's raging now, making known through the storm you are God. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And we ask you to be with those families, be with those we know there that we love and we care about. We pray for their recovery effort after the storm. We pray for this nation as a whole, as we sometimes have to unite to help each other. And Lord, in the end, we know that this world one day will come to an end. And the sign won't be the storm, the sign won't be the tornadoes and earthquakes that some are saying, but the sign will be when your son appears in the sky, and that only the Father knows and not mankind. We pray now as we study your word that we can put away those things of the world, those thoughts, and consider the condition of our salvation, our soul, and obey from the heart, the form of doctrine that will deliver us. It's in Jesus' name that we all pray this prayer. Let's together say amen. Amen. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The golden text. For God so loved the world. Verse 16. That he gave his only begotten son.
That whosoever believeth in him. Should not perish.
Should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse is known as the golden text of the Bible. It is one where Jesus speaks, and he makes a statement that none others could make, that God so loved the world. That so means God loved in such a manner. What manner? God so loved the world that he gave. The manner was he gave his only begotten son. This is where I want to focus primarily with this thought that he gave his only begotten son. Here is a father who would give his only begotten son. In Romans chapter 5 and in verses number 7. This is a manner of giving that no other one has ever done. It has never been done before like this. That so is used exclusively for God himself. And the book says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 7.
For a righteous man will one die.
For a righteous man will one die.
Yet peradventure.
You would very seldom hear of anyone dying for a good man. Peradventure, or perhaps a good man.
For a good man, some would even dare to die.
But God
commended his love
toward us.
But
see, that's the difference. It's a soul. But God did what man won't do. But God commended or showed his love toward us.
In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
His love is not like the human love. God's love was his son would die for enemies and not for friends. It was while the sinners was at enemies with God that God's son would give his life for the enemy. And back in verse number 9, he said, much more then being now justified by his blood. This is important part of what I'm going to be talking about when it's looking at the begotten. It has to do with blood. He says, we shall be saved from the wrath through him.
For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son.
Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Talking about Jesus' life. Now, God so loved us, the world, that he gave his only never before was there a begotten child of God. Go back to John chapter 1 and the verse number 13, so we lay this out now. He said, which were
no
born,
John 1:13,
which were born not of blood,
nor of the will of the flesh.
This begotten son was not born of blood, meaning man came together to do it, nor of flesh, of the will of the flesh.
Wasn't Mary and Joseph's decision.
This wasn't Mary's and Joseph's decision to come together to have this baby. It wasn't a man's will, but of God. Now, watch this now. And the word was made flesh. No, they wasn't called the begotten at the time. The word was made flesh and
dwelt among us.
And we beheld his glory. At the point that the word was made flesh, that when we beheld the glory of
the only begotten of the Father.
When he became a baby, that's when we could see the glory of the only begotten of the Father
full of grace and truth.
Now, only begotten, it literally means only and only child. Then as an only child is especially dear to his parent, we should be able to relate. This means that this was God's first time having a child. When Jesus came from Mary's womb, this was God's first child. Don't miss me now, because this ain't hard. You ain't got to have no PhD. Just listen. There was no child of God in heaven. John 1:1. In the beginning
was the Word.
Was the Word.
And the Word.
Now watch what he says. He didn't say Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word. The Word. It was called. He was called the Word.
Was God.
Was God. Who was he in the beginning? God. He was not the begotten yet. He was not the begotten Son of God. So. We are, get this for me now, 1 John 3:1. Now, those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we are considered Christians or saints, and we have been given a title as well as the sons of God or the children of God. But before Jesus left heaven, there was no children of God.
What are you saying, Brother Brooks?
Here's where we're at.
Behold,
look, John says,
behold. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us.
He's talking about Christians now.
That we should be called the sons of God.
There is the manner of love. That he said, what kind of love is it that we can be called
the sons of God?
Why? Because we are born of the Spirit, and now we are like him. That's why we call ourselves spiritual, because God is a spirit. He never was flesh and blood. He was a spirit. And so Adam came into the world as flesh made from the dust of the ground, and then breathed into him, he became a living soul. When he sinned, he realized he was physical. He went from spiritual to physical, which was the first Adam. The first Adam was not born of a woman. He was created from dirt. Now, when he sinned, then he went into a physical state, and we became the image of Adam. Adam then had children, Seth, and he was in the image of Adam. You and I are in the image of our daddies. Until we obey the gospel, we become in the image of God. Can't be in the image of God, you have a spirit. So I said, Brother Brooks, well, y'all missed that. Y'all get it?
We got that.
See, I look like Carter Brooks out of mama's womb. I was the image of my dad. That's flesh and blood.
That's true.
But when I was born of the water, under the water, I received the blood cleansing of the only begotten, which gave me the DNA of the only father, which made me a child of that father, and I received the spirit. I went into the image of God.
It ain't hard to get. Just the theologian wants you to think it's mysterious. It's serious. It's simple. There is your spiritual birth. Your mama was your physical birth. Now let's look at Jesus. This is the one and only time that God has ever did a thing like this. There was never before, and never will he do it again. The next time Jesus is coming, he ain't coming as the only begotten. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back as Judge. So what happened to Jesus? He came from a virgin womb of a baby, as a baby. And that, it had to do with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. If he was God in the beginning, John says he was not born of blood, nor of will of the Father, nor of the will of man, but of God.
So the word was made flesh. So that's the creation in the womb of Mary. Where the word now has to take on flesh and blood. So God then brings them together. Let's look at some scripture. 1 John 5, verse 6 and 8. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. And Hebrews 9, 22. Watch this. Now, this is a good study right here. 1 John 5, 6 and 8.
This is he that came by water and blood.
Now, this is he that came by water and blood.
Even Jesus Christ.
Now, you remember when they pierced him in the side? He was dead, right? What came out? Blood and water. This is he that came by water and blood. In other words, it was all part of God's plan. Now, what he said, not by water
not
only.
Not by water only.
But it required
but
both water and blood.
And blood.
And it is spirit.
That beareth witness.
That beareth witness because
the spirit is
so
truth.
He's telling us that the spirit told us this about Jesus. Notice what he says, but there are three.
That bear record
now
in
now watch
heaven.
Where they bearing record at. In where?
In heaven.
This is how it looked in heaven. Read.
The Father.
There was the Father.
The Word.
What was it?
The Word.
What was it?
And
in heaven wasn't the Father and the begotten, was it? No, in heaven, in the beginning, was the Father and
the Word.
Because he wasn't the begotten yet. That's my point. See, when the world get it, that God gave his begotten, then they can relate to man can't do what he want to do because that was God's only begotten. Only begotten. It was the only one. So John is saying, what was he doing? In heaven, he bare record that there was three, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's what we know as God.
These three are one.
Now watch this, verse 8.
And there are three that bear witness in heaven.
And no, not heaven, 8.
No, in earth.
That's it. Now here come the earthly figure of it. Well, now here's how it bears witness on the earth. Read.
The Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
And the water.
The water.
And the blood.
And what?
And the blood.
So,
and these
what represents the heavenly, the earthly spiritual is that the water, the spirit, and the blood must come back into together to bring another child into God's kingdom. Now, that happens in baptism. You got to have the water, you got to have the blood, and you got to have, the water and the blood and the spirit. So, when you got the water, let me go over here. When you got the water, the blood, and the spirit, then you can have another child. But if you ain't got no water, he don't get it. But if you ain't got no water, no if blood. You ain't got no blood, then you ain't got no spirit. You ain't got no child. Did y'all miss it? They ain't missing, D. Water in heaven. Father, Word, Spirit, got a child through marriage, spiritual, earthly, to become a child, got to have water, blood, spirit. Now here's the problem. Here's something else to consider. Hebrews 9:22 says, without
the shedding of blood,
there will be no forgiveness or no remission. Y'all with me? So what is it that changed when Jesus came on the scene? What happened? Well, you just drunk some of it. Except you drink of the blood. Now let's see. First Corinthians 15:50. Yeah. Watch this. Boy, this is good.
Uh-huh.
This is really good.
No.
This is really, I like my own study sometimes. This is good. Now, this, no. when you learn something, see, now, this is, I've never studied it like this. This makes so much, how can man mess up something that God put so clear? It made it so clear. Look what he said. Now, watch what he says.
Now, this I say, brethren.
Now, Paul said, this I say. That what?
That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Watch this, son. Now, you with me here, little student. Now, watch what he's saying, what Paul is saying. And when Jesus was in heaven, let me get this. When Jesus was in heaven, he was the Word. And there was no, he was not flesh and blood in heaven. You see that quizzing? So he's saying, no, because flesh and blood
cannot inherit.
Can be in heaven. God. Okay, so since there was no blood in heaven, then he had to have come to someone with blood so he could have blood, because it's going to take blood to get forgiveness of sin. So God put him in a woman who had blood, and the blood circulated through the baby, but it was holy blood. Because when he was the Word, there was no blood.
No flesh and blood.
When he came out of Mary, he had flesh and
blood.
Then he died. God left him on the cross. He said, my God, why you forsake me? Because he was a physical body with blood, and that body became a body of sin for the people. So he became the body of sin. So God stepped back, because that body got to die. Because if that body don't die, there will be no bloodshed. But if they kill him, amen. But if they whip him, start pouring blood. When they whipped him with the whip, body start putting out blood. Put the crown of thorns on his head. Body start putting out blood. But it wasn't finished yet. The body had to die, and the blood and water had to flow from the body. You get that? Can you preach that one? He said, I don't know. Now watch this. Y'all see that? So here it is. The point of whole proving the point of the only begotten being uniquely different. A single only child. But there was a parental relationship. Okay, now God go into a father child relationship. What wasn't in heaven. He was the Word. He was God. So now that he's Manuel, he's God with the people, but he has flesh and
blood,
which means he can no longer go back to heaven like that. So when he dies, they bury him like they do people, physical people, but he didn't stay. He got up, but he didn't get up on his own. See, it was the Father who loosed the pains of physical death, because he was flesh and blood. It required God to release the pain. That's why when Jesus walked up to Lazarus' tomb, they said, he stinked by now. He'd been in the grave 4 days. He said, loosen. In other words, only God can loose physical death. Let me tell you something. Somebody, folks, said, well, I died and came back. No, you didn't die. Because there's a point of the man wants to die. Once you dead, you dead. Amen, somebody. He gonna resurrect you. So he said, that's what he told Mary. He said, so they come up, touch him. He said, oh, no. What's wrong? Don't touch me. He's resurrected now. I guess we ain't got no more flesh and blood. He's back into the heavenly form. See, now that he's resurrected, God got him up. He brought up God. God raised God. Now he's God. He don't have flesh and blood. So he tell Mary, don't touch me. I got to go back to my flesh and blood. Can I enter into heaven? That's strong preaching, boy. That's good stuff right there. Hey, you know, all you got to have is a close to an elf and you'll get it. You ain't got to be real smart. Just believe what you hear. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? You ain't got to have no real big education to understand God. God done gave us everything we need. Now here's the beauty of this whole lesson. If I understand this, that this make God, the Father, the greatest giver of all times. That's why he said, Jesus said, God so loved like nobody else. This makes Jesus the greatest gift given by anyone. Y'all follow me? And the world is the greatest measure to receive the gift. And it's the greatest future gift that anyone could give. Eternal life. That's everlasting life. Now, let's go back to John 3. Now, all I dealt with was God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Now, watch this. Now, I didn't want to say it like this because I probably need to say it anyway, so you don't take it wrong. But this verse, I should say, in the Meeker Orno Baptist, and if you listen to the world today, this is the most dangerous verse, a misquoted verse in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Notice what it says. Whosoever believeth in him
should not.
Now, if somebody here, you ain't never, if you don't read this scripture, you're going to quote it just like this. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Shall not. Joel Osteen say shall. Billy Graham say shall. T.D. Fake say shall. Every preacher in the Baptist church say shall. Read the book. The book says should. If a man understand the magnitude of what God gave, he won't have a problem doing what God told him to do. So this is the most misused scripture in the whole text. It comes from Calvinism. Methodists use it. Episcopals use it. Catholics use it. Presbyterian, Pentecostals all misquote this verse with one word. But that's what Satan did in the garden. What he did, he said, you shall not. He put one little word in there, he said, not. One word. It's been put in the golden text of the Bible that's misleading people to believe. All I got to do is believe. As long as I believe, I'm saved. That's why in the denomination world, every funeral you go to is a homegoing celebration. Drunks die, whoremongers die, adulterers die, everybody dies. Just die, die, die. You go to heaven. As long now as he's going to be in your obituary, it's going to say it like this. Well, you know, Johnny was a really good young man, even though he'd done some things wrong in life. But here's the beauty of his life. And then he accepted Jesus at an early age. Since he accepted Jesus at an early age, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He accepted him in his heart, therefore he believed in Jesus, and therefore he's saved. And they use John 3:16, misquoted, and say, you shall not as long as you believe. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my friend, don't believe that because the Bible don't teach that. Jesus said it. This is his words. He said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world through his son might be. Which means they're not guaranteed, but they might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When Jesus got up from the grave, he died on the cross with buried rose. Here's the command he gave, Mark 16:15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, for God so loved the world. Now he said, going back into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believe it, there it is, and his conjunction to it, baptized shall be saved. Now someone says, it don't say believe and be baptism in John chapter 3. I agree with that. It also don't say nothing about repentance. But Jesus said something about repentance, and he said something about baptism. Who was speaking in John 3? It was Jesus who understood the whole concept. He didn't have to put repent, be baptized in John 3. Because if you believe what he said, you'll do what he said in Mark 16. And you'll do what he said in Luke 13:3. And he said in Luke 13:3, I tell you now, but except you repent, you're going to perish. It's in the text. So it's like, well, you know, since baptism was in John 3:16, that excludes baptism. Well, that excludes repentance. So here it is. I got to close this part. Go back to John 3:19.
And this is the condemnation.
Here's the condemnation. The light is coming.
The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light.
Dark, you know, light and truth. You want truth, got light, you got darkness. You want lie, you stay in the darkness. Read.
Because their deeds were
evil. People want to just live like they want to live anyway. That's why they're not obeying them. Read.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light.
Uh-huh.
Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
He don't want to come do it because he know what he's doing. He want to keep doing it. Keep on reading. But now here's the person that's going to obey the gospel. He that doeth truth
cometh to the
when
light.
When a person doing truth, he going to hear Mark 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He going to hear John 3:16 or Luke 13 because he wants truth. Read.
But his deeds may be made manifest.
They are derogatory. They
are wrong.
Okay, let me make the application like God. This. That's the last verse I'm going to use there. Let me read a story to you. So all of us go into our parent mode, okay? And as I close, here's the lesson. Think in terms of this is God's first and only child born, as I've talked about. There's a story called What If. Go with me with the story. The day is over. You're driving home. You turn in your radio. You hear a little blurb about a little village in India where some villagers had died suddenly and strangely of a flu. It's never been seen before. It's not influenza, but 3 or 4 people are dead, and it's kind of interesting, caught your attention. They're sending some doctors over there to investigate it. You don't think much about it, but on Sunday, coming home from church, you hear another radio spot. Only they say it's not 3 villagers, it's 30,000 now that are back in those hill countries of India. And it was on TV that night. CNN runs a little blurred. People are heading there from the disease center in Atlanta because this disease strain has never been seen before. By Monday morning, when you get up, it's the lead story. It's just not just in India, but it's in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran. And before you know it, you're hearing this story everywhere. They had coined it as the mystery flu. The president of the United States made some comments that he and everyone are praying and hoping that all will be well over there. But everyone is wondering, how are we going to contain this thing? That's when the president of France makes an announcement that shocks Europe. He's closing their borders. No flights from India, Pakistan, or any of the countries where this thing has been seen. And that's why you might, that night, you start watching CNN again because you want to know a little bit more about this disease. Your jaw hits your chest when weeping women and translated from French news program in English. There's a man lying in a hospital in Paris dying of the mystery flu. It has come to Europe. Panic strikes as best they can tell. Once you get it, you have it for a week and you don't know it. Then you have 4 days of unbelievable symptoms and then you die. Britain closes its borders, but it's too late. Southampton, Liverpool, Northampton. And it's Tuesday morning when the president of the United States makes the following announcement. Due to a national security risk, all flights to and from Europe and Asia have been canceled. If your loved ones are overseas, he says, I'm sorry. They cannot come back until we find a cure for this thing. Within 4 days, our nation has been plunged into an unbelievable fear. People are selling little masks for your faith. People are talking about what if it comes to this country. And preachers on Tuesday are saying, it's the scourge of God. It's Wednesday night and you're at the church Bible class meeting when someone runs in from the parking lot and says, turn on the radio. And while the church listens to a little transistor radio with a microphone stuck up to it, the announcement is made. 2 women are lying in a hospital in Houston, dying from the mystery flu. Within hours, it seems that this thing just sweeps across the country. People are working around the clock trying to find antidote. Nothing is working. California, Oregon, Arizona, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Massachusetts, Arkansas. It's as though it's just sweeping from one border to the other. Then all of a sudden, the news comes out. The code has been broken. A cure can be found. A vaccine can be made. It's going to take the blood of somebody who hasn't been infected. And so, sure enough, all the Midwest and through all those channels of emergency broadcast, everyone is asked to do one simple thing. Go down to your hospital and have your blood taken. Type taken. That's all we ask of you. When you hear the sirens go off in the neighborhood, please make your way quickly, quietly, and safely to the hospital. Sure enough, when you and your family get down to the hospital, they're late on that Friday night, there's a long line. They've got nurses and doctors coming out, pricking fingers and taking blood and putting labels on it. Your wife and your kids are out there, and they take your blood type, and they say, everybody wait here in the parking lot. If we call your name, you can be dismissed and go home. You stand around scared with your neighbors wondering what in the world is going on and if this is the end of the world. Suddenly, a young man comes running out of the hospital screaming. He's yelling a name and waving a clipboard. What? He yells again.
And your son tugs on your jacket. And he says, "Daddy, that's me." Before you know it, they had grabbed your little boy. "Wait a minute, hold it." And they say, "It's okay. His blood is clean. His blood is pure. We want to make sure he doesn't have the disease. We think he has got the right type." 5 minutes later, out come the doctors and nurses crying and hugging one another. Some are even laughing. If it's the first time you ever seen anybody laugh in a week, and an old doctor walks up to you and says to you, "The daddy, now you go into the mold with him. Thank you, sir. Your son's blood type is perfect. It's clean, it's pure, and we can make the vaccine." And the word begins to spread all across that parking lot full of folks. People are screaming and praying and laughing and crying. But then the gray-haired doctor pulls you and your wife aside and says, "Maybe we'll see the parents for a moment." And he says, "We're sorry, but we didn't realize that the donor would be a minor, and we need you to sign a consent." And you look at the consent form, and you say, "If I sign this, but if I sign," and Doc says, "I'm sorry to say that it's going to take all of his blood. But can we do a transfusion? It requires all the blood. Can you sign?" The mom and the dad in numb silence looks at each other. And they look at the child. And you sign the consent. And the doctor says, "Ma'am, sir, would you like a few minutes with your son?" And so you walk into the room. And when you get into the room where he's at, you walk in there and you see your son hooked up to the drawing the blood and starting to take him. Because you signed the consent, they immediately started to take his blood. And he's growing weak. And he asks you, "Daddy, let the cup pass. Not my will, but yours. Let the cup pass. Do I have to die?" And you, the father, and it's your little baby that you're holding, your little daughter that you have, your little son. And you lay there, and he's getting weaker and weaker. And you have to turn and walk away from him. And as you get to the door, your son says, "Daddy, why are you leaving me? Why would you forsake me? Why would you leave me on this table?" And you walk out on your child. And all them people that you done that for later says, "I know your son's name was Jesus, but I don't see nothing in a name. I know you wanted us to remember him every week, but you know, we think once a week is enough. I know you wanted the churches to wear his name, Church of Christ, but won't Baptists do? How about Methodists? How about Episcopal? How about Catholics? I got a question. What if it was your son? What would you do? Would you laugh at the vote? Would you laugh with him? Or would you say, that was my only son?" If you can say that, then you can understand why God, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. How many daddies could have walked off? How many mamas could have left your baby? And how many of you will be okay with people when a preacher like me extend the invitation that son wasn't enough to get them back to the church building? It wasn't enough for them to serve in the Lord's kingdom. That son wasn't enough for them to take communion weekly. That son wasn't enough for them to make confessions, to repent of their sins. That son wasn't enough for them to work in his kingdom. That son wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for people to love each other and put aside your differences. It wasn't your son. It was his son. It was his only begotten son. What about the people who need to be saved? That son wasn't enough for baptism. Four last week. Jewel, I see her in the audience. This week. Four precious souls. Washed in the blood. Washed in the water. They were in there. They believed it. They repented. They confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. And we baptized them. How many of y'all today been baptized? Was it your son? Whose son was it? It was God's only begotten son. When he got up from the grave, he says to me, preacher, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it, and he'll baptize, shall be saved. What is that gospel story? The son, the only begotten son, hung, bled, and died and suffered for you. The father loved you so that no other one would do what he done. And he says when he buried him in the tomb, he resurrected, he said, tell him the gospel. He that believe it, and he'll baptize, shall be saved. So what do I want you to do? Lord, I want to be a Christian. That's what I want to be. See, I want to be a Christian. How many of y'all want to be a Christian this morning? Ain't y'all glad God done what he done? Aren't you thankful that he done it? You come by hearing the gospel. You come by believing, by repenting of your sins. Confess Jesus before this audience this morning. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're going to ask you that. And guess what you say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know what we'll do with you? We're going to put you in blood, water, and spirit. It all happens in baptism. You go from the physical to the spiritual. And then you are privileged to be called a son of God. This is the love God made known, that we are the sons of God. How many of y'all want to be sons of God? Say amen. Want to be a child of God? Say amen. Can you ever be the only begotten? No, sir. There's only one. There's a one of a kind. And all of us can come through his bloodline if we come to be baptized. Come for confession. Come for baptism. Come for prayer. As together we stand and say, Lord, I want to be a Christian.